Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Holy and righteous God, you are the author of life, and you adopt us to be your children. Fill us with your words of life, that we may live as witnesses to the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
The first reading is a reading from Acts. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people. You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? And why do you stare at this? As though by your own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the Holy and Righteous One, and asked to have a murderer given to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witness, and by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given him his perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. The word of the God, word of life.
God.
Let us pray Psalm 4 responsively. Answer me when I call, O God, defender of my cause. You set me free when I was in distress. You have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Mortals,
how long will you dishonor my glory? How long will you go deliciousness to seek after lies?
Now that the Lord does wonders for the faithful, the Lord will hear me when I call.
Tremble then and do not sin.
Speak to your
heart.
Offer the appointed sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord.
If you are in my shame, who will show us good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord.
You have put gladness in my heart more than when grain and wine abound.
In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me rest secure.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from John 1. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is righteous, right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah. The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus himself stood among them and said to the disciples, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. He said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Well, we have good news today. I'm happy that the Easter that goes on for weeks and weeks after our one-day celebration. The wonder and joy of Easter can't possibly be contained in 1 week or even 3 weeks. We hear the story from Jesus, the story of his promise of peace and forgiveness over and over again, this important and wonderful good news. Think about the emotional roller coaster that the disciples have been on. They have witnessed their teacher being brutally executed as a political criminal. They saw his battered and dead body laid in a tomb. They watched as a huge stone was rolled in front of the opening of that tomb. And their hopes and their dreams were buried right along with Jesus. Their hope for the new kingdom, for life different than their life that they had, buried right along with him. And they were now afraid that their relationship with this Jesus would lead to their own arrest and possible execution. And then there's the other news, this news that they've been getting the last several hours, days, about the empty tomb. They hear the women come back and say they went to the tomb, but Jesus' body wasn't there. They didn't know what to make of it. And then some disciples come back from their trip to Emmaus, and they say that they saw Jesus. And they knew that it was him as he talked to them, shared conversation, and then shared a meal with them. And now we get the story of one more time, one more appearance. Jesus comes and meets this group of fearful and confused disciples, and he meets them exactly where they need to be met. He meets them with peace. He meets them with forgiveness, with patient teaching, and with explanation. And he meets them in a shared meal. This is good news. Not only good news for the disciples in the first century, but also good news for you and for me. Good news for the 21st century. The good news is that Jesus meets us exactly where we need to be met. He meets us in our lives where we are right now. Jesus meets us in our fears and in our confusions. He meets us in our hiding places. And when he comes, he brings peace and forgiveness. When the disciples in the story that we just heard are met by Jesus, they are afraid. They're hiding, they're cowering in a room because they are afraid. They're afraid for the people who might come and arrest them as Jesus was arrested. They're afraid because they had abandoned their leader at a very critical time. They were afraid that if the story about his being alive again is true, how is he going to respond to them? After all, they had ignored him, abandoned him, left him literally for dead. What's it going to be if this Jesus is alive? They were afraid. That's often the case with us too. We are afraid, afraid for our own sake, afraid for how our relationship with Jesus has been less than the kind of relationship that we would like it to be. And Jesus finds us. He finds us in our hiding places. He finds us in our fears and in our confusion. He finds us in our busyness and in our distractions. He finds us in our doubts and in our worries. And when he finds us, he calms our fears. No matter what's going on in our lives, the one thing that we can be assured of is that we are never alone. The God of love is always right there with us, right there where we need to be found, with words of peace and words of forgiveness. Where do you need to hear that word of peace today in your life? Do you need to hear a word of forgiveness in your life today? The cares and concerns of our own lives can put us on a roller coaster of emotions. Our finances, our jobs, our children, our parents, our environment, our addictions, our faith, our doubts. We are on a roller coaster, and we need peace. Just when we might feel overwhelmed with life, Jesus shows up and says, peace. And then he asks the question that parents of generations have heard from their children. Do you have anything to eat? I think this is such an interesting part of the story. Jesus is so folksy, so at home, so much wanting to do whatever it is that you need for me to show you that I'm real. And so he asks the question that we ask constantly, what's for dinner? Is there anything here to eat? And the disciples, great guys that they are, go to the refrigerator and pull out leftover fish stick from last night. Leftovers they give him. It's an interesting part of the story. Why is it that Jesus would ask to be fed? I think it's more simply another way that Jesus is proving to these disciples that it's not an illusion, that he's not a ghost, that he's real flesh and blood. This hard-to-believe story of the resurrection is just slowly sinking in. And they needed time, they needed reassurance that it was true, that Jesus was really alive and in their midst. And Jesus wants to eat just like we do. I think that's a pretty good metaphor for our life together as followers of Jesus Christ. In the ordinary, everyday activities of life, ordinary as eating leftovers, Jesus is with us. Look around at the ordinary folks in our lives, the familiar faces that we see across the breakfast table and that we pass every day in our lives. Look at those people and know that Jesus is here. We're never apart from the love of God. We're never apart from God's care for us. Jesus is standing right here in our midst. This is the good news that the disciples were witness to, that Jesus was there right in their midst. This is the good news that you and I are witness to as well. Jesus is in our midst. And what's a witness to do? A witness is supposed to tell the truth, to tell the story. A witness gives evidence and provides testimony. Just tell what you know. This frightened group of disciples are empowered to share that story, that great story, against all odds. Suddenly, they're not so afraid to go out and tell what they have seen, what they know. There's political and social opposition to that story, but that doesn't keep them from telling what they know is true, what they have come to experience, that Jesus is alive. Think of how much time has passed since that first story of Jesus has been told, since Jesus said to those disciples in that room, "You are witness to these things." From the eyewitness of the first century to the life witnesses, you and I, of the 21st century, that great story goes on and is told over and again. Today, we are the witnesses who are commissioned to tell what we know is true. Now, granted, we did not stand in that room and see Jesus extend his hands and show us the wounds in his hands. We did not see that empty tomb and peer into that and see the angels pointing the spot where Jesus had been, a dead body. We didn't even hear about it firsthand from people who did see it. But we are, without a doubt, witness to that story, witness to that truth. Remember what Jesus said, "Blessed are those who believe who have not seen." We are witnesses. We're not expert witnesses. We're simply witnesses, people who tell the truth of what they've seen, of what they've experienced, the truth of Jesus being alive, the truth of Jesus being in our lives, in our ordinary lives, in our doubts, in our worries, in our concerns. That's where Jesus is. Jesus is standing right next to us, giving us assurance and peace. And he's asking to be fed. Every meal that we share is a witness meal. Whether we're here in the church at the altar or around a TV tray in our living room, every meal, no matter how special or how ordinary, has the potential of being filled with grace and has the power to witness. Even when we eat our meals alone, we know that we are not alone in the body of Christ. Through baptism, we are given a place at the table. We are given an identity as children of God, as the body of Christ. In every celebration of the Eucharist, that identity is strengthened and refreshed. This is who we are, the children of God. In this holy meal, we remember that Jesus is here with us. We remember in this holy meal that we are the body of Christ. We are his hands in the world today. And what are we going to do with these holy hands in the world today? In this meal, we discover who we are and what God has called us to do and what God has done for us. We are called to offer peace and forgiveness as Jesus did with the disciples in the first century. We are to extend that peace, that forgiveness, to those who are around us, to those who are different and indifferent, to those who have little and those who have nothing. We receive that here at this altar, at this table, and then we are sent to take that and do it some more. Continue that message of peace and forgiveness. As the ultimate sign of God's peace, we are to make our own lives a sign of peace, our homes, our churches, our families, a sign of that great feast that is to come. We are to provide for all people a welcome to our community to share in the feast to come, the feast to which the whole human race is called. We who are the precious children of God are to be the body of Christ, broken for the world, feeding all who hunger, feeding all who hunger not only for bread, but who hunger for peace and for forgiveness. There was a cartoon I saw once, and it was a pilgrim with a pilgrim staff and a long outfit. And he's walking and he's at the crossroads. And at the crossroads, there's two signs. One points this way and it said, "The meaning of life." And the sign pointing this way said, "Cheese and crackers." If that pilgrim really knew the meaning of life, he would go right for the cheese and crackers. Because this is where we are. This is where the people of God are. This is where Jesus Christ is. Do you have anything to eat? When we share a meal, when we share food, when we share fellowship, that's where Jesus Christ is. We should head for the cheese and crackers. Well, we will in a few minutes. Actually, we're sharing that right now. We are sharing the food that nourishes our bodies, our spirits. We who are the body of Christ today know that we are fed. When we gather for this feast of bread and wine, when we eat together and drink together in this community, we who are the witnesses of the resurrection live in a way that points to the presence of Christ in our midst. Peace, forgiveness. These are key words when we raise our hands to tell the truth. Peace, forgiveness. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. Do not be afraid." Do you have anything to eat? Now, go and be my witnesses. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.